Now, I imagine that for many of us here, there are exciting times ahead over the rest of today. There are some presents perhaps still sitting under the tree that you cannot wait to open. And you're hoping I'm going to be really quick so you can get back and have a go at them. There are other presents sitting under that tree that some of you can't wait for other people to open because you're really looking forward to seeing the look on their face when they open what you've got for them. Now, if you wanted to, you could go online onto YouTube and you can find clips galore of people's reactions to different presents that they've opened, from shock to excitement to screaming to tears of joy. You could spend hours doing it. I don't recommend it. It is great to receive something, isn't it, that makes you feel really excited. It's a real joy. And it's great to give something that makes other people feel really excited. And judging by the reaction of some of the children and the parents, actually, on YouTube, their lives have been turned completely upside down by the gift of certain presents. And it can feel like that, can't it? And it's good for us to take great joy in the giving and receiving of gifts. But the reality is that those things don't actually turn our world upside down. They're exciting and they're full of joy, but life is actually not really radically transformed. So the clip that I saw of the boy crying tears of joy as he unwrapped his Lego Death Star that he'd been waiting 2 years to get may not quite have appeared quite so life-transforming a few years down the track. Now, it's still brilliant, of course, because it's a Lego Death Star. It doesn't get much better than that. But I'm not convinced it's totally life-transforming. And the teenager that I saw captured on video screaming with overwhelming excitement, dressed in his Batman pajamas, having just got an iPod 6, may look back now several years further on and hope his mates never see that, because actually it's not made quite the difference. And iPod 6 is now so last decade. Presents are great, but they don't actually change your world. The birth of a baby, oh, that's a different matter, isn't it? Now, you ask any parent here, even fairly new parents, what life was like before their little one arrived. And I could almost guarantee that they won't be able to remember. The birth of a baby is so life-transforming, it erases the memories of what life was like before they arrived. What did we used to do? I haven't got a clue. The birth of a baby turns your life upside down. You do things you would never have done before. And most of them involve poo and wee and probably a little bit of sick, if we're honest. And you think things that you have never thought before. 6 hours sleep, that's brilliant, I feel wonderful. And you plan things that you've never planned before. How can I fit in a shower and breakfast and loading the dishwasher and emptying the bins and changing the bedclothes in the 40 seconds it takes to heat the baby's milk up before they need a feed? Can I get all those things in? And you say things that you've never said before. I just want to go to the toilet on my own. The birth of a baby turns the world upside down. At least it does for the parents. The rest of us, we get to coo and to cuddle, and then we get to hand them back, particularly when they start to smell, before we head off for a leisurely meal and a quiet evening and a comfortable night's sleep. The birth of a baby doesn't actually turn the whole world upside down. Now, as our interviewee told us earlier on, no self-respecting shepherd ever leaves her sheep, not even for a Roman census, except we heard for that one time. The birth of a baby doesn't turn the whole world upside down, except, of course, for that one time. Christmas turns the world upside down. Not because of the presents that we get today, although they bring great joy and excitement, but because of what those gifts are to remind us of, the gift of a baby who was born 2,000 years ago. And that baby turns the world upside down for three reasons. First of all, because of who that baby is. We heard about it today in our reading. Announced by a choir of angels who lit up the hillside. This is the Messiah, they said, the anointed one, the Lord. This is God himself come to earth, just as Gabriel had told Mary 9 months before. Mary and Joseph's lives will never be the same again, but neither will the world, because God has now come. God has not stood far off and distant. He's not just taken the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He has become Emmanuel, God who is with us. So Christmas is not just for those who choose to celebrate it. And the story of Jesus is not just an optional extra to the holiday season for those who feel so inclined. No, God was born on earth 2,000 years ago. A woman went into labor. She didn't have a vision or sense of presence or experience an epiphany, an awakening. A woman went into labor, and amidst all her cries and all the mess of childbirth, a baby was born into the world and was placed in a manger. And God was here on earth. And shepherds came to see him, sent by an angel. And overwhelmed as they must have been, and possibly a little confused by this little scrap of flesh lying in a manger. This is God himself. They went away, we're told, glorifying and praising God because their world and our world had been turned upside down. Because God was here. But it's not just a matter of who he is, but also what he came to do. So the angels announced, you remember, the birth of a savior. That God had not come just to be seen, but to rescue. And the manner of his birth through the pain and the suffering of labor and the circumstances of his birth into poverty with an animal trough for a cot pointed to the reality of the world that he had entered. It wasn't a perfect world. It's not the world that God had made in the first place. It's a world that had been spoilt. A world that was of perfection and joy and beauty and goodness, reflecting the Creator who made it. But because that Creator had been ignored and denied, things had broken down. And we experience that, don't we, in the reality of our lives. It's why it was important to pray those prayers earlier on for those who are struggling in a world which has rejected a good God. And yet he comes after us. Even to the extent of being born into this world to rescue it, the angels announced that a Savior had been born, and so came the dawning of hope. Because this baby will grow up, and he will grow up to go to the cross to take the consequences of our rejection for God, of God on himself, and to give us life. To rescue us both in this broken world and for a better one that is still to come. The shepherds heard wonderful news and they responded and they ran to Bethlehem. They could have sat there on the hillside, couldn't they? And carried on with their lives, but then they would never have known the joy of a Savior. The wonder of meeting God himself. Instead, they rushed off the hillside. We sang a song earlier on where the chorus was, "Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem." And that's the call for us today. To hear of the birth of a Savior and to hurry to him that we might know the joy of forgiveness and the wonder of knowing God. But there's one more thing I want us to notice this morning. That when God comes to earth, when a Savior is born, the announcements are made with an appropriate fanfare, aren't they? Great crowds of angels appearing in the sky, the glory of the Lord shining around, a heavenly host, a great choir singing God's praises. What a sight that must have been. Can you imagine? For those shepherds. But notice who that first announcement is made to. It's made to a bunch of shepherds on a hillside. God speaks first not to the rich, not to the powerful, not to the important, not even to the good. A bunch of shepherds regarding it in the culture of the day as insignificant and unimportant and undervalued and largely ignored, even despised. And God chooses to make his announcement to them first. More than that, he makes them the first people invited to come and see his son. See, Christmas is the story of God coming to earth. God coming to earth as a savior, and God coming to earth as a savior even for me and even for you. God's announcement of the birth of his savior, of his son the savior, comes to a bunch of shepherds, not because it makes a good story or even a good carol, but because it makes a statement of what God is like. That God's gift of himself as a rescuer is for everybody, from the highest to the lowest, for all people, not for those who qualify, not for those who are reputable, not for those who are respectable, not even for those who are good, but for everyone. For those who know they need a savior, because they're not the people they all should be. In other words, for people like you and me. I bring good news, said the angel, that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonder of Christmas. Thank you for the celebrations we enjoy today. Thank you for the presents that we will open and that we will give. Thank you for the food that we will eat and the company we will enjoy. Thank you most of all for the good news that we celebrate of the birth of a Saviour. Thank you that he comes for us, not because we're good enough or noble enough or respectable enough, but because you love us and you want to rescue us. Help us to remember as we consider the story of the shepherds that you come to make yourself known to those who are lowly and those who are unimportant, to all people. And so we pray that today we would celebrate the birth of a Saviour because we know that he comes for us, for me. Would that be the cause of great joy for us today, we pray. In Jesus' name.